Hello and welcome to the second ever Nothing But Respect podcast, an unofficial podcast about Celtic Football Club. I'm your host OT and today I'm joined by Hunter and Bruce once again, as well as welcoming to the team, Stevie. In today's show, we will look at the first leg of Celtic's Champions League qualifier against Malmo, look ahead to next week's vital second leg in Sweden, and also take a look at SPL activity plus transfers in and out of the club. Welcome to episode 2 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. Today I'm joined by Hunter, Bruce and the fourth member of the Four Horsemen, Stevie. So, Celtic won the first leg in a crucial Champions League qualifier 3-2 against Malmo. Goals from Lee Griffiths and Nir Bhutton and then Griffiths again. So, what did you make of the performance? I'll start with Hunter.
In patches, brilliant, but then, as we've seen quite recently, sloppy, which was quite annoying and cost us. But for the most part, I thought we were really good.
I agree. I thought we controlled the majority of the game, but we're quite good at doing these days. We know that we beat ourselves because we won the game, but we were our own worst enemy again.
Steve?
Aye, well, I'm not going to be too critical. I did think we played well, and I generally thought it was a foregone conclusion at 2-0. I thought it was just going to be on to be an absolute rout. But I think the turning point came when Johansson did his usual one-on-one, and his finishing is absolutely abysmal. If he scores there 3-0, I think the game and the tie is totally over.
I agree.
And I think Malmo got a bit of a lift for that, and as a result, this ended the half really, really strongly. And it's a bit of a shame that that's one of his aspects that is really letting him down, because other than that, he is a pretty decent footballer. And again, he scored what? Was it 17 goals in all competitions last season? So I don't understand where he's so brutal at the one-on-ones with. But he could easily get double that if he put all that away. And I think last night just showed you that as an aspect of his game he's really got to sort out.
Definitely no ruthless enough as a fit whipper. He tries to place these shots. He should just put his foot through the ball. I mean, admittedly, it was on his weaker side last night, but it's just it's on your weaker side. You just put your laces through it and hope for the best. He still tries to place it in the corner. It's no good enough anywhere. I mean, I'm a big fan of Johansson, as he's on over. But as you say, Steve, he should be adding goals to his game. He's good at everything else. He should be a good finisher.
You know, Danny. Although last night, well, as Danny was saying, mostly like he plays it, but I really remember the two one-on-ones he had in the semi-final that we're not allowed to talk about last season. And he just rattled the ball right at Ryan Essien twice through one-on-one. So I think obviously he's trying now to place it, but it's still not really having an effect. And I mean, really, if you kind of get bay for him, you know, either placement or power, and he's still having a nightmare with it, then is it maybe worth putting Armstrong like to have him in the attacking midfield role and maybe punt your hands in it wide so that maybe Armstrong seems to be maybe a finisher than him?
It's a good shout.
Well, that's one of the things we spoke about last week. Like, we were saying how Armstrong just seems to be the complete player. Like, yet again last night, he was outstanding. And, like, he came close as well. He was in our run. Like, I think that was the two chances that sort of changed the complexion of the tie. Was obviously Johansson's chance and Armstrong had one that just went wide. But I prefer Armstrong in the middle as well. I think he's more effective. Like you say, Johansson, he's a good player and like two assists last night, so you can't really knock him. But I just think he maybe would be better served at wide.
He's still going to give you that energy and drive, I think, if you gave him a free roll. But I think Armstrong's fairly wasted out left, and he's out left because he's too good to leave with the team. But if Johansson can play, I mean, Johansson can put balls into the box, so I really like both of them, but Johansson made that position his own. That's why Commons isn't in the team. But I don't think we'd suffer too much if Johansson was pushed out wide. Although his pass for the first goal last night was exquisite.
That all came for Armstrong coming in from the left.
I mean, you wouldn't get that if they were reversed.
At first goal, I thought it was outstanding. Well, like you say, because Armstrong just takes on man after man. Then Johansson's pass is spot on for Griffiths. He's got time to take a touch. Cool as you like, puts it in. Then obviously we beat on with that, scoring that corner. Griffiths again, he does superb. I thought so. A lot of people are talking again. Should it be Chifchi? Should it be Griffiths? But I think Griffiths has now fully cemented himself as Dial's first choice striker in Europe. I think he's got to start next week.
Yeah, he made that position his end last night after 3 minutes.
So I actually agree with you. In fact, one of the points I was going to make was how Griffiths, when he first came, and there was nothing to do with the whole racism part of, because let's be honest, man, you see my works on Twitter week in, week out, that I thought when Griffiths first came, he just looked like a wee typical scrawny Scottish player that was just, you know, never suited to Celtic. But I have to give credit to him because he looks as if he's bulked up a bit and he looks as if he's actually sort of maybe a physical player. And he's, I take nothing away from him, the way that he actually, you know, for a second am I going to be an absolute screwball Bampot compared to Griffiths to somebody like Larson. But I thought the header last night was just reminiscent of like the way Henrik would have been in terms of just desire to win it. And for a guy, he's not even maybe on your 6 foot, but I mean, you can never tell, because I think he scored quite a lot of goals with the Heed, and I've got to take my hat off to him, because I thought when we signed him it was just going to be another typical SPL signing just for the sake it improved his overall game, and I wouldn't dispute him being
I'm away in a huff.
Hunter, what did you make of first half performance?
First half of them were brilliant. I really did. I thought when we went 2-0 up, I thought we were just going to kill it off in the first half, let alone the actual, the whole, like, the first leg. My fear before the game was going in 2-0 up at half-time, because I felt like if we went 1-0 up, we'd be like, we would keep the nut screwed and realise that 1-0 was such a precarious lead. So I thought going in 2-0 would have been probably the worst thing we could have done, because we might have slacked off. But when we were 2-0 up at half-time, I was delighted, because I thought, nah, they'll see this out, they'll probably get another two goals second half and just kill the tie.
Well, aye, that was one of the things. I saw you tweet that last night saying that you thought going in 2-0 at half-time was the worst thing that Celtic could have done. And I disagreed at first, but then the more I thought about it, I completely agreed with you. Like, it was... We needed... Right. That last-minute goal is a bit to concede. But at the same time, it means we're going to be on our guard on Tuesday, which... You've seen it before. If we go with a two-goal lead, like, there's every chance we'll get complacent. Mm. Right, so moving on to the second half, right. Early in the second half, Malmo made it 2-1. It was that man, Joe Ingeberget. What did you make of the defending for that goal? Bruce?
For me, I blame Scott Brown, because he could have headed the ball out and headed it right to the midline area. Looks to get caught under the ball, but yeah. It's kind of, but then again, it was fewer corners. I mean, how many goals do we need to concede for corners? But just on the point that Hunter made there, do you think that at half-time they get stuck between... Obviously, they get stuck between going for a third and shutting up shop, but do you think the fact that Malmo scored 3 goals against Salzburg in the second leg had anything to do with that? Because I think it must have played a wee part, a Dallas team talk at half-time.
Might possibly.
I just think that it's classic first-leg stuff. They get caught. I think we're Celtic... Maybe it's just Celtic fans, maybe, isn't it? But I think sometimes we're too... Not obsessed, but, you know, interested in finishing the tie in the first leg, because look what happened against Inter last year. When Inter went a goal up and Shaqiri scored it, that's us out, Inter have getting away goal, and you're like, sake, man, the game's only on 10 minutes. And it was the same last night, people were, but when you're 2 up after 10 minutes, you should be going on and finishing the tie. But I think they definitely had a bat in their mind that Malmo can easily score 3 goals at home. But on their goal, I mean, that Bergit was the worst player in the park. And he offered absolutely nothing the whole night, but you can't take it away from him. You can talk about defending all you want, but it's an absolute peak to finish.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to be special to beat Gordon, we know that. Nah, he beat him all ends up. Fair at that angle, an absolute peach. But he was the worst player on the park last night, and it hurt me. He was that bad.
I agree, because especially, he was just getting nowhere. Like, they put him on Lustig in the first half. And about half into 40 minutes in, they switched him to Zagiri because he was getting absolutely nothing. And like you say, he can't take it away from the finish, but take his 2 finishes of the game, and what's he done? Absolutely nothing. So, obviously, like, after that goal, right, like we were saying about Griffiths there, the way he makes that goal he's in, it's just unbelievable. For a guy that's not even 6 foot to get that height, out-jump that defender, and basically lob the keeper, I just thought it was outstanding. And then, right, we talked about first Malmo goal. What about the second one? I just think that's unbelievable to concede. Because we've got every man in the box there. I don't know how he gets that free.
He's right place at the right time any other night. Beaton with a one heater or Van Dijk with a one heater. But these things happen. I was saying it was pure luck last night, but it's easy to say that. But it happens to Celtic far too often. I think Van Dijk, for the 94 minutes that he was there, Van Dijk was a leader last night. And just that one wee bit let him down when he should have cleared people on their own. He did it away, he didn't he? But funny enough, Lee Dixon said it should have been a foul to Celtic. But I've not seen it again to look at it. But he said Van Dijk was foul. But I've not seen it again to comment on that. But anyway, it's a goal Celtic concede. and we've all seen it. We've seen it for years. It's a goal Celtic can see in Europe, and I know we won a game and all that, and obviously if we're 2-0 and doing 1-3-2, we'd be buzzing for next week, but it just put such a dampener on what was a great performance, and people go, what, it's different. 3-1, right? We raised like it, we'll beat 2-0 next week. So 3-1, hadn't put a tie to bed. But even the fact if Malmo were to score it early on next week, they still wouldn't be in front. No, they would be. And if they score early, I don't see us... I can see us scoring no there, but I hate it when we're chasing the game. I hate watching Celtic because you know what happened? We chased the game. We ran up front. 10 minutes left front, or they get caught to the back. And we needed a Nord goal cushion. I'd be so happy with 2-1. 3-2. Just it's 2 away goals. If it was 2-1, we could have just been out there, scored early. We've matched their away goal. But no, I can see it's going there and drawing on each, like Carabag easily, but I just think 3-1, the outlook's so much brighter. At 3-2, you're kind of... They're going to be right up for it now because they know they should be out. They were doing nothing after 10 minutes. So they know it's a kind of free game for them now. And the pressure's on Celtic. I don't really care what anybody says about Malmo being at home. The pressure's on Celtic. We're a seeded team. It's a bonus for Malmo to get a Champions League. And it's a bonus for us as well in the grand scheme of things. But if we're serious about dialogue building something at Celtic, then we've got to be in the Champions League this year.
Hunter, would you make it a second goal?
The second goal, I think before it gets to the corner, Ambrose folds too easily down the right side. Then when they get the corner, I think actually, I see what Dixon was saying about Van Dijk being, well, I don't know if he said Van Dijk, but I think Van Dijk gets pushed or something. And I think he kind of loses his position and then ends up trying to redeem himself by going for the ball, clattering into Beaton, and then it just falls to Berget. But I mean, I wouldn't say Ambrose at that point was culpable, but if you watch it back, you see him in the box. And
where's he going?
He's running away from the danger.
Yep.
He's running out like toward out the box, and you're like, where the fuck's he going?
Who's that, Ambrose?
Aye.
After the corner.
When the corner comes in, he's your furthest, like, to the right-hand side, the penalty box. Like, he's your furthest back Celtic player, and he's running away from it when it drops to Berget.
Is he trying to play him offside or something?
I don't know what he's doing. No, but he's like completely running away from the ball, and you're like, say the worst case what happened, it did drop to him. You should have, you've got every man in the box, so you should have, oh, you had Gordon and Izaguirre in the way, but that was it. You should have had about four men throwing themselves at that. Like, because it's the last attack, because you've seen, it took it right here, what was it, 5 minutes added on, and that get took here because of that wee scuffle Johansson had with that boy. And like, so it was past the 95 minutes, and you're like, all we need to do is clear it. It was very similar to when Inter Milan get that free kick in February, like in the last minute, and all Gordon saved it, and it was basically the last touch of the ball. That's all we had to do, just get some sort of clearance on it.
But somebody posted a picture today, Mackay Stevens had the ball on the left wing at the corner flag after about 93 minutes, 40-odd seconds.
Ah, and Izaguirre swung it in the box.
So, Mackay Stevens got to win a corner or a throw in there or put the ball to party sell, but I just think we save it. We definitely get caught trying to chase an odd goal, and I think it was just prior to the corner. We put the ball in the box, Gordon came through about six bodies and took it. Took a peachy a bump, got up, won a free kick, took a free. That should have been a game. They should never get anywhere near or off after that, but we just invite pressure on us. When they get that corner, people were saying Johansson, the concentration level for them because Johansson was fighting with that boy, right? Which is a lot of rubbish, because if Johansson and that boy don't argue and they cross the ball into the box and they score, people say Johansson didn't get enough time to regroup. So Johansson seems to be the scapegoat for some reason. But with the goal, he kind of knew it was coming because we've seen it too often. The whole night Van Dijk was outstanding, but he's got, as a centre-half, he's got to come out and command that. And he did it into Rose Ed. And even if he does it for an odd corner, the ref probably blows a whistle. Because we were deep, deep, deep into stoppage time. But you just, as soon as it fell for him, man, I mean, he did nothing the whole night. He just in the right place at the right time. He scored two goals against us. And everybody's raving about him. Fucking useless. But it happens to us all the time. You're sick and you think, just see you at one corner and you're probably in the Champions League. No, we've not got it all today, but we've gave Malmo a lifeline they shouldn't have.
I kind of disagree with what you're saying. It's like you say, like, as soon as you got that corner, yeah, it just seems to be typical of Celtic, and it gives us It's like you're saying there about next week. My one criticism of the Isles teams, you barely see them come back from, like, you're saying if Malmo score first. I'd be really worried if Malmo score first next. Because we play better in games that we can hold off. Because look at look at Europa group stage last year. The first game was Salzburg. And then we scored early and then we held on and we get battered that game. And we somehow get away with a draw. And then even like Zagreb, Astra, like that was games where we never looked like going out and taking the points away. Qarabağ was, I hope it was a turning point, but I think Malmo are a better team than Qarabağ overall. I don't think there's an awful lot between them, but especially with them having that Rosenberg boy back next week, and you know, if they get that first goal next week, it's like you say, that goal's completely changed the game.
Changed the outlook on the tie, because 3-1, you're like, nah, Malmo need to come out and score early next week, but even if they do that, it obviously makes you think of Basel, but all it does is give you kind of Celtic a shot in the air if you come out and score early next week, so I don't really. I think we're through it 3-1, and I know we're not definitely through in that, and it's still a second tie to be negotiated, but I think at 3-1, we could go there and nick a goal in the break, and, you know what I mean, nick a couple after Malmo need to come at us, but 3-2, it's, you know what I mean, Malmo can sit in, they don't need to come out next week, Malmo can play like they play, because they know they've got a chance, they can play the exact same way they did last night, as long as their defence is better, and they know that they can wait for a chance to counter. It just changes the whole outlook of the tie, and it's really unfortunate because after 10 minutes, the tie should have been finished.
Particular standouts last night, you mentioned Griffiths and you've mentioned Van Dijk, Bruce. One of the players I thought was outstanding again was wee James Forrest. I thought that was another tremendous game. I thought he was brilliant at Kilmarnock. And last night, he turned his guy inside out. That must have been about six times the first off. I think it's the old cliche, but he's a new signing. Like, and if he keeps that up, then he's going to be vital next week. Because you've seen that in the second half when the boy tried to fling him in the dugout. It was too easy for him at times, and I feel like with Forrest, he seems a lot more broader on the shoulders, and he seems to be able to take a tackle now and just keep going at him, man. So what did you make of Forrest, Hunter?
I thought he was really good last night, and I think he's definitely, like I said last week, I think he's definitely, like, you know, bulked up, and he's definitely a stronger player. I still feel like his final ball just isn't quite good enough. And I think it lets him down. I think sometimes he tries to do too much. Like, there was a few occasions last night where I feel like he was coming in off the wing, and he was just driving, and he was just running into a group of Malmo players and just losing the ball, and which was quite frustrating. But I think Forrest's an easy target for people. I think people were getting on his case when that sort of thing was happening. But overall, I thought he was probably one of our better players last night. But I do feel like his final ball really needs to improve.
I'd agree with that. I thought he played really well, but I still think he can do more. I think people are maybe just quick to praise him because he does get a bit of stick, and people, because he has turned a wee bit like his former self, people are quick to say, oh, he's back, this and that. But he still didn't put enough crosses into box last night. he didn't have enough shots. He doesn't follow the ball up either as well. And there were about three or four times last night where Armstrong got the ball and he crossed it in. And Forrest on him, his horns, his hips, the edge of the box. Should be bursting a got to get into the box. And he was unlucky with one, he actually did get in. And the ref gave a foul against him. But he played really well. It was encouraging to see Forrest take somebody on and beat him, because we know he's got it. And that left back, he gave him a toiling. No, I mean, it was a doing he gave that boy. And the boy, no, I mean, he was kicking every Celtic player that moved, that Peruvian boy, so it obviously showed Forrest was getting to him. But he's got to do it more consistently, but he's got to start next week, because that left-back will be dreaming about him until next week.
He's got to start. You mentioned there about him getting kicked and that was much the same as what happened after the Qarabağ away game. Some of them Malmo players seem to have a bit to say. I've got a quote here from Willand, who says, he was quoted as saying, they are pigs, all of them, that's the way it is. You just have to try to stay cool and do what we have to do on the pitch. Lee Griffiths, well, I don't know what to say. He behaved like a child, tugging shirts all the time. I feel we're seeing this mirror and mirror. Did you feel that Celtic are finally, especially Scott Brown, even Lustig until he got injured last night in Johansson, do you feel that we're finally starting to get in? We've lost that nice touch where we were. I think it was you, Bruce, that says it last week, how we're everybody's second favourite team. We're actually playing a bit more aggressive.
I think we definitely are being more aggressive, but I think Malmo have just done their homework. I've read about, they've searched Celtic on Google, and looked for any negative comments about Celtic, and every single one of their players and their manager repeated them. There's no danger Celtic were that bad last night. The referee was that school teacher. He wouldn't discipline one player without booking the other. Scott Brown and Johansson were booked for being assaulted last night. He should have booked the boy, the left back, when he snapped Forrest in the first half. He put his studs right into his knee. It was a stonewall booking. They never booked him. The ref was shocked last night. But Malmo just said what the media wanted to hear about Celtic last night. They're trying to rile Celtic, and I know the goal changes outlook of the tie, but they'd do well to remember they got beat last night, and some of their comments today they're going to come back right up next week, I think. We hope.
Hunter, what did you make it?
Tit for tat, I think. I don't really think we were that bad last night. Obviously, we don't hear what people say in the pitch, but fuck, nobody gets anywhere being nice. Well, to use the old saying, nice guys finish last and all that, and I don't care. Years ago, I would always, when I was younger, I would care about what people thought about Celtic and all that. But see, now, I don't care. As long as Celtic get where they need to get, and if they do what they have to do to get there, I really don't care.
Another downs for Celtic last night was, we hate to say it, and we feel it's the umpteenth time we've had to say it, but Lustig broke down, and it looks another bad injury for him.
He's all right. Man in Bears Den.
He broke down physically and mentally.
I think we all broke down a bit. Mentally,
when
we saw the tears come.
Some of the comments about him today have been ridiculous, and I don't mean people slagging him. People defending him because, he's a good player. But he's so unreliable now, and I hate to say it, but any team comes in with a bid over £2 million, then even the NHS will be begging Celtic to accept it. He's a liability for Celtic these days. He's a great player, and he's obviously a big character in the team. You can see it when he's on the park. He's a great player. But we can't have great players that you're scared every time they go over. You don't even need a player to be near him now. And I love him. I think he's a great player and he's one of my favourite players. But we can't have that. And we've sold one right back this year who clearly wanted away. We've brought in a new one. If we need to suffer Effie Ambrose at right back next week, then I blame it Lustig. And plus, if he doesn't go down injured, there's no 5 minutes injury time, as somebody tweeted me the day, and we probably get away with a 3-1. So, I'm not blaming Lustig for the result, but his injuries are a hindrance now to Celtic. It's alright saying, he's unlucky, but you're only unlucky the first twice. This is 3-4 times now, and when's he got to be back? We've not heard any word yet, so I'm guessing February. And then, by the time it gets to February, he'll probably not play, and it'll be, we'll get ready for next season again. And then he can come out in next May or June and tell us how ready he is for the season and then break down the next Champions League qualifier. That is a shame. I do feel bad. But it's getting to the point now where people are putting their personal feelings at Lustig because he builds good Twitter. Or the fact that he is hindering the team every time he gets injured. And it's not really fair to Celtic anymore.
I was at the game last night, obviously emotions were running quite high. And as soon as he went down, I was quite raging. And I was like, this guy's he's a liability now to Celtic. How many times is he going to get injured? How many times is this going to happen where we're down a player because he's been injured yet again? And I felt really bad at the time for feeling that. And I felt even worse this morning when I seen the pictures of him greeting. But how many times can we keep going on with him getting injured constantly? I mean, Kyle used to get a horrible time for it. For being injured all the time.
But
Kyle had a few injuries, but over the piece, Kyle and Lustig have probably been at the club for about the same amount of time, and Kyle played at least about 30 games more than Lustig ever has for Celtic.
No, I agree. But it's just, I know Berichter's a worse injury than that, right? And I know he gets an injury every time he wakes up, but people, they use it for shite patter on Twitter, and they say, oh, Berichter in the stand, probably get injured watching the game and that, Lustig's just the exact same, and I know Babbage brought it up today and people said, but Lustig's a confident player. No, fair enough. We signed a young boy from Man United. He's probably not a right back, he's probably a wide midfielder, but are we going to need to turn him into a right back? Because we've sold Matthews. I was all for Matthews leaving, but I think he's a good player, but I don't think his heart was in it anymore, so good luck to him down there. He's picked a terrible team to go to, and he'll probably have a long season, but that's his decision. that we lose to. It's just, are we no signing a right back because he's first choice? Or it's just such a hindrance on us, and it's unfair on him. He is unlucky with injuries. I don't mean he's no unlucky, because obviously he is, but I don't feel sorry for him anymore. I know he was greeting in that, and that was a shame, but I feel more sorry for Celtic. We're in deep doubt next week if we need to go into that game with F.A. Ambrose at right back.
Is that, who would you go with right back next week? That's
one thing. Yank was a must. Yank or Fisher. I'd play Fisher or Yank. One of them are a must. Or I would maybe bring Mulgrew in and go to 3 at back and drop Izaguirre and play Mackay Stephen and Forrest with Beaton, Brown and Armstrong in the middle with Johansson and Griffiths. Kind of 3-6-1-ish, but I mean, that's radical, but anything to avoid that. I mean, look at Ambrose when he came on in the 90th minute. He's got a board on the line. Hit the board on the line or volley it into your crossfield, as in a long, high crossfield pass to the left wing. He hits the ball inside to nobody. And what happens is they break up the pack. Yeah, he's obviously not a right back, right? He's not a right back, but he's played there enough to know. If he's a fat player, he should know. You don't play that. You don't hit a ball like that into the middle of the park when they've got more bodies in there than us. And as Hunter says, he just completely folded when that boy ran at him. I mean, even it was like a 50-50, and he just, I don't know if he pulled out it or what, but the boy just went through him without even, didn't even look like he was there. And you're just sitting going, wait, why do we, you know what I mean, why can he not just put his foot through the ball and clear it? And instead, he gets skint, they win a corner, and obviously they score for it, but I just, 90 minutes like that, I don't know. I don't know if I could watch 90 minutes. Might be too much for me.
It amazes me that he's still, he's an international football player.
I hate the Ambrose bashing, because I think he's a scapegoat for a lot of people. A lot of people, right? But he's got to get it when it's due. Last week, the first goal against Kilmarnock, I was critical of Izaguirre, letting the cross come in easily. But if you watch it again, the boy just runs across Ambrose and he doesn't move until it's too late. And last night, and I hate the bashing, because I think Celtic fans love a scapegoat. And it seems to Ambrose gets all the time, there's goals that Ambrose is nothing to do with, and people blame him just for the fact he's on the park. But last night, he's not a right back, and his confidence must be shot. You know what I mean? Because he's probably aware of it, Celtic fans think him, but it's just the way he completely folded when that boy ran at him. You just think, I said it last year against Maribor, that he'd completely chucked it. And I think, because he let it, about 3 or 4 times he tackled the boy and let him get on him, but last night, I don't know if he's not mentally strong enough to play in a game like that, in my opinion. And we need to keep the ball next week, and I don't think he's going to help us keep the ball. So for that, I would play Yanko, because I thought he actually looked quite good against Kilmarnock. I just think he can draw it into somebody just to be cautious and just to be defensive. I don't think he can tell Ambrose to be focused. I just think he probably looks at you as if you're talking some mad foreign language. I really like him, and he never ever says no to playing many positions. He's got to be dropped. And Dyla, it's hurting Dyla playing him, because I really like Dyla, as you know, but how long do you need to suffer that kind of thing before you say, right, enough's enough? Is it going to take a serious injury if it happened to Mulgrew to get beat on in the team? I didn't like it when was Yanko on the bench last night? Or Fisher? No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think either of them were.
I think that's why he brought Ambrose on. I've never. You should always have, especially when Lustig's playing, you should always have a fullback in the team on the bench, just to be sure. I wouldn't play Ambrose. I think it's a must that Ambrose sits out next week.
Well, I see you're saying about him being a scapegoat. Well, I think that goes a way, way back to fucking Juventus when they came and took 3 off of us, and then Lennon came out and basically blamed him. He says, my player shouldn't have told me that he was good to play.
That is on Lennon's shoulders, but that was entirely his fault.
How many Celtic fans look up to Lennon? They help the guy they idolise say that, and it's stuck.
But the buck stops with Lennon there. I mean, for fuck's sake, the guy came back, and he'd been back, a day? For a thingy, you don't play a guy like that. That was totally Lennon's fault. And usual, Lennon finds the opportunity to blame it on somebody else.
Commons threw him under the bus as well.
Aye.
Said that he should have told the manager that he wasn't fit enough to play. But
is this a player's going to do that? But
Aye, because imagine he did say that and we get beat 3-0. And Lennon said, oh, well, I wanted to play F.A. Ambrose, but he said he wasn't meant to be tough enough to play. But the scapegoat, end of the day, he was on the other side of the world, playing football 48 hours before it. We rushed him back, and it cost us. But that was, as you say, it's on Lennon, and that's what you're right, Dan, that's what it stems with. The fact that Lennon threw him under the bus that night, but because people forget before that he was sound. I know we don't like harping on about the Barca result, but he was brilliant that night, and he was very good in Moscow away. He was very good in Benfica. So he was clearly a very good player at one point.
I think there were some warning signs with him, though. I remember
signs.
First game against his home debut in the league, and we were playing Hearts. We're 1-0 up. Samara scored, and then he played a totally horrible pass straight to Andy Driver, who really should have scored, but stuck it wide.
The warning signs are there, and they have been, but and it's a wee bit like the same as Boyata. The warning signs are there with Boyata, who I thought was outstanding last night, by the way. But fans have already got Boyata done as a write off. I just think that Ambrose obviously gets it. It's too much what he gets, but I need to side on the bashers with this one, because the last three or four games played, he's cost us a goal, and we can't have that. It's, I just, they'll target that next week, and if he puts up the kind of resistance like he did last night, we're not going to win the Champions League.
I think, I agree with you that I think Janko should play, but I think it's an absolute certainty that Ambrose will play.
It's like asking me to pick a team when Lennon was there, and I always used to say Beaton when I knew Mulgrew was going to be playing the midfield, but he's not going to. Dial has got a soft spot for Ambrose, probably because when it was all going tats up for him, Ambrose was there and wanted to played anywhere for him. But he's got to play Janko, he's got to play a right back. Hopefully Lustig's fat, but the fact he went half green suggests that we're not going to see him until about February.
It looked like he'd done his hamstring, so...
Unless you follow him on Instagram, but it's just left us no option. People should be putting Celtic first. I like the boy in that, but his injury's put on right in the watch for next week. But interesting to see who starts at Tannadice on Saturday. I think it'll be Janko.
I agree, I think it's going to be Janko, but like you say as well, I'm 90% sure that Dial is just going to go with Ambrose again.
He'll come out and say that it's because Effie's experienced and all that, but he's experienced in being poor.
It's what he thinks, right? You see, you're saying about being a scapegoat. Every time he comes on, like in the SPL, home or away, wherever you want, the crowd expects it, and every time he touches the ball, you just hear the gasps, and they're just... And that must get to him as well.
Oh, obviously it does, but he's got to just put the ball away. See all that? It was the exact same with Caldwell. It's why Caldwell got it. It's why Ambrose is getting it. It's because they fancy themselves as fitter players. If a defender, let Van Dijk play with the ball. He can do it. You know what I mean? He can do it. He's proven that he can do it. If he gives it away, he gives it away. That's on him. But see, whoever's next to him, or whoever's at fullback, just get the ball away. Just clear it down the line. Doesn't matter if there's them there, as long as they can't score for Rose Ed. Ambrose, he always wants to take a touch on the ball. He's always looking for his killer pass. And he gives the ball, and he can't tackle either. I make people punt him as a holding midfielder after about 3 weeks. I really like the guy too, because... I remember fondly a big performance in Unsung Heroes. In that Barca game, he was an unsung hero. But and that last night was pitiful. That excuse he tackled. I mean, for a boy his size, that's a shocking excuse for a tackle. And it's left us right in the fucking depths of despair going into next week. Because if that left... I mean, if Berget was the worst player in the park last night, but he'll fancy himself cutting inside and having a shot against him. That's why I'd play Janko. I'd boot Berget early. Because Janko can carry the ball and all. Ambrose can. Got it, Lustig's injured, because I'd be so happy if he was in the team.
Wrap up about the Malmo game here. How do you see next week going? I'll start. All right. I've honestly no idea how I see this going, because we took three goals off them at the end of the week. I think we will score earlier. But it's just, I think the first goal is so crucial, and if we concede it, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost 2-3-1. Like, I just worry for us. But I think I'm really heartened by that Carabag performance, because Carabag could still be playing just now and when he scored that night. If we can get that sort of performance, like one of the things I thought last night, I thought I beat on got his goal, but I thought he was very slack. He needs to, him and Brown just need to get behind the ball, like, because Chris Sutton picked it up, that Brown was a bit too far forward at times last night, and that's not really his role. You've got your guys like Johansson, Armstrong, Forrest that can do that. I feel if they just do their jobs, just control that midfield, I actually think we'll get a, I'll go for one each and us to go through 4-3 in aggregate. Hunter, what's your prediction for next week?
Malmo 0, Celtic 2.
Any scorers, since you're so precise?
Chris Commons to come off the bench and score late on, and I'll go for Johansson to get the first.
Bruce, what's your prediction?
One of two ways. We'll either win 2-0, as Hunter said. We'll score early, they'll come at us, we'll, and I'll go for Commons to finish it directly on, but it's all about the first 10 minutes. If we have the first 10 minutes that we did in Iceland, we'll probably be 2-0 down. If we have the first 10 minutes that we did in Carabag, we might be 1-0 up. So it helps us that Malmo need to come out, and that's no bad. But Malmo need to come out, don't need to come out straight away, so we could grow in confidence into the game, maybe. I think we need to play it as if we need to score. And I think we can only shut up shop if it's not an each with 20 minutes to go. I don't think it helps us just to sit in for the start. It never has. Who knows, it might happen at Carabag. We might actually break out in the last couple of minutes and nearly score. But I'll go for 2-0, I think Armstrong will score.
The thing I'm worried about, though, is if we get to, say, 75 minutes and it still is 0-0, we're going to be inviting pressure on us, and it's only going to take one goal for them to knock us out. That's the bit that worries me, I think. We need to try and shut up shop in the first half and then try, they'll go all out and get a goal, but try and get a goal in the next 15 minutes after half time, because I really wouldn't want to go into that final 10-15 minutes at 0-0.
I would sit in first 10-15 minutes and then grow into the game. I think Malmo will let us go into the game. I don't think they'll come out and go for the hammer early. They might come out of the traps after a couple of minutes, but I don't see the pressure lasting through at all. They didn't trouble us last night, and I know they've got two players coming back, apparently they're two best players, but the boy Van Dijk was imperious last night, man. He was peerless out there last night. He was outstanding. And if it is his last game, he'll be able to go with a point. And I think you just say to him, nothing gets by. Him and Boyata, you probably threw him aside and you say, nothing gets by you. And if anything gets by you, it's on you. And you don't want your last game, Virgil, to be a 4-0 humble. My only concern is 1-0 puts us out. I think we will score. I'll back us to score. I'd always back Celtic to score, especially Dyer's Celtic away from home. We know how to concede, but we definitely know how to score. I'd love Scott Allen or Jeff to get a winner, but I'll go for Armstrong and Collins. I can see us going through. I don't think we'll go out. And I know the tie's in the knife edge now, but I just don't think this Rosenberg boy, he's a good player, but let's be honest, he was a flop at West Brom. He was a highly rated boy at Werder Bremen, but it never worked for him. He's back in Scandinavia. Probably score now, but it's not as if they'll get Messi to come back. And aye, they beat Salzburg, but Salzburg got home tonight after Dynamo Minsk, who St Johnstone nearly put out a couple of years ago, so there's nothing to fear for Malmo, except Celtic. I mean, we can only beat ourselves at this point. Sadly, we're quite good at that. But I think we'll get through and we'll win. But we'll win the heart, but as people are pointing out, I don't know what good teams will do it is, if this is what Malmo are doing it is, but I just want to be here this year. Last year was rubbish watching Maribor get humped every week. Plus, last night, the atmosphere was brilliant at the start of kick-off, so we deserve another 6 nights of that, even if it's only people turning up for the Champions League games. Who cares? It's better to be in the Champions League than that, isn't it? And I would take third place in the groups, you know, if you offered me. Never mind fucking winning anything.
Aye, I totally agree. Well, I've tipped this for a European semi-final this year, so we're going to either need to fucking finish third in our Champions League group, or even better, let's go all the way. Right, moving on, we've got SPL action on Saturday. It's away to Dundee United, Ellis, 12 o'clock kickoff. How would you approach that game? Would you rest players, like, or would do you feel we need to get that? Keep the team fresh, keep guys like Griffiths scoring. How would you go about that, and how do you see it going, Hunter?
I'm wary of dropping points. I still think we'll win the league, but I'm wary of dropping points while Aberdeen and Hearts are still racking them up. When we made the whole of the changes last season against Inverness, we get beat. And I think any time we make these big changes, we always suffer. And I really don't want to drop any points. But at the same time, it's really important that we rest players, I think. I mean, I think you could start Griffiths and then maybe bring on Skepovic later on, maybe 60-minute mark, something like that. Who else? I think Johansson's due rest.
I don't think there's a chance Beaton or Armstrong will play with them having, like, in down there. Obviously, Armstrong come off with a tight hamstring. I think he's definitely not going to play on Saturday. Beaton as well, come down there.
I would like to see Allen start.
I would start Scott Allen.
I was actually a wee bit disappointed he wasn't on the bench last night, because I thought if he was on the bench and got to come on, he would have received some reception, which would have been good. But at the end of the day, it was more important that we actually won the game than had that kind of moment. So,
Bruce, how would you approach Dundee United?
Last night I was off for changing 11 players, but then I remembered what happened to Inverness last year. But I would play the goalkeeper. I'd play the new goalkeeper. I would play Janko, Boya, Van Dijk. Probably play Mulgrew at left back. The midfield, I'd play Allen and Brown. Definitely, I'd play Scott Allen. I'd throw him in. Let him start. Give him 90 minutes. Who knows, he might impress enough to get a place in the squad on Tuesday. I would play Mackay Stephen. Rogic will probably get a start. And I would play Forrest, but then again, Forrest's a bit like Lustig, you just don't know when he's going to break down. But I would play Griffiths as well, or Shepovic, I wouldn't really be forced by either in bank. He'll play Griffiths, and he'll look to bring Shepovic on bank if he can get. But I just don't know where the depth in the squad is anymore. Even if he was to play Ambrose at right back, I know I've just said I'm dead set against it, but if he was to play Ambrose at right back and play Janko on the right wing, and Guy Forrest arrest, I wouldn't be 100% against that, but as James says, you don't want to drop more points. I think we really need a clean sheet on Saturday. We can't lose another two goals late on, any sort of goal, can't lose any goals late on. I think we'll probably win. I think the United are not very good this year.
Hamilton
can take 4.5 and we should be taking 4.5 them. But it's Celtic, it's on the telly, McNamara seems to have a wee bit of a dig at Dyra often enough, he'll have the team up for it. McNamara knows he's probably doing away if he gets the sack. I like him a lot, but if it's a chance between us putting 6 past somebody and him getting the sack, I pick Celtic every time. I'm actually starting here because I'm trying to think of players that could play in the team. And
what about Stokes?
Tierney,
aye, good shout. But I'd play Mulgrew here because I want Mulgrew to play there on Tuesday, which I never thought I'd ever hear myself say.
Yeah, I feel the exact same, and I never thought I was ready for him to go this summer, but I wouldn't mind him playing at left back now.
Exactly, I'm the same. Just because, one, he's got a bit of height, and two, we know he's bad, but he's competent enough, and he doesn't really get beat often. But, and he's a threat, he can put a set piece in. Beaton and Armstrong, I'd definitely sit out. I'd fill the bench with youngsters. I would take a defeat on Saturday if it meant we go through and Tuesday, by the way. Not a problem if you offered me a win in a draw in Malmo and a win nothing defeat on Saturday, I would take it, but I think I'd follow the bench for the youth team. Yeah, the boy is, but no, he looks like a good league player. Stokes, I think Stokes' time's up, innit? And I think if he does play on Saturday, it'll be a farewell. But I mean, I'd play him on the left. Why not?
He might. He's got a really good record against Dundee United.
I'd play Mackay Stephen on the right, play Stokes on the left. I'd play Johansson. But I think he might play Rogic, but I'd love to see Wee Allen get a start. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I'd love to see Allen being a success itself, just for the fact that you're getting all this. I only signed him because Rangers want him, only signed him for a laugh and all that. I really want him to become somebody that's undroppable, and he's not going to do that for the bench, so I'd love to see him get a start. He's got to bring it up for it, because he used to play for Dundee United, so he'll be keen to impress. in the back of his mind, he'll be keen to do well at Celtic. He'll be keen to show that he's not just a Rangers fan and all. He'll want to do well. So why it's all good, but as I say, I would try to bench for the youngsters. Hopefully get the game wrapped up early. Get Johansson, Brown and Griffiths off. Look forward to Tuesday, but or we should have done an Aberdeen and get the game cancelled.
Aye, big team mentality.
Big team's day. That's not him. We need to be more savvy.
What do you think, Stevie?
Ready to go silence, Ray.
Aye, he was having Wi-Fi issues, apparently. Well, the way you're saying you'd take a defeat, I know it's early in the season, right? I honestly don't know how many points we can drop. I don't really care about Aberdeen. I think they are always due a wobble.
That too.
But it's Hearts. I'm slightly worried about Hearts because
we've still got Hearts. We've still got Aberdeen to play four times.
I know.
That's 24 points, hopefully.
Aye, but then you get, I think if you're considering dropping points there, then what you got to be like the six group games if we get Champions League, you've got to be like, well, if we drop points, it's fine. Then you've got before and after that.
I'm saying it's acceptable to get beat. What I'm saying is if you offered me a draw in Malmo, but then the United would have beat us, I'd be all over that. I'd take that offer right now. But it's too early in the season to start going on about that. Look at last year. What we do need is competition for places, and we've not got it anywhere, really, except when. But what you were thinking at the time, OC, when we get into groups, Chief, you could play in the league, so that's a body up front. But my point is, the team will be into the season a wee bit more, which it really annoys me supporting Celtic because, yesterday I couldn't really get excited for the game until about maybe 6 o'clock. But see, if a game has been played in April, I'd be excited for the minute I woke up. But I don't think it's fair on Celtic, and it's no fair on the manager that people are looking to judge them on what they do in July and August. But that's just the nature of these days, that's just the biz.
Well, that's it. See, we were going on about Scott Allen there. Like, we spoke last week and we were talking, was it a banter signing, a patter signing? But see, last week against Inverness, see Scott Brown went off. You see, we've not got much in that midfield. I think Allen's going to get in there. I don't think it's going to take him too long to establish himself.
I don't see him as a player that plays behind the striker. I see him in that Ethan Brown role in there. I see him in that position. I don't see him as a player that plays in the number 10 position. And I know that he's come out and said that that's where he'd like to play, but I think the immediate need has been able to spot Brown 20-30 minutes rest. The team capitulated when he went off last week. And it's no coincidence that we're a better team, isn't it? But I think that's what Allen should play. I don't see how many different options than Allen, which is a shame. But he might even play. I mean, he might play Tierney and play Mulgrew in midfield. But then what's the point of signing Allen?
I agree.
It's not what I mean for Saturday. But well, we've not got too many options because when you get to the point where maybe you play Mulgrew, it shows you the lack of depth we've got there. And people that say that we don't need Scott Allen are very, very crazily mistaken. Because I think that mid-left park is a problem area because Johansson is a far less effective player when he plays there. And Mulgrew's a less effective player when he plays there. Mulgrew's effectiveness anyway. But we really could be doing going out and spending a bit of money for a midfielder. Even another one. It's no shame having four good players to play in one position. But the problem with Celtic is, and the problem is, we've got our first 11 virtually fixed itself, even more so with the fact that Van Dijk will probably leave him, but our first 11 picks itself, fans know the team. The only difference might be is Coleman's got to start, or is Armstrong got to sit on the bench, or is Mackay Stevens got to sit on the bench, or Forrest. You know, you generally know the 13 or 14 players that are going to be playing. That, to me, it brings a togetherness and it brings a kind of familiarity, but it's also complacent as well. Because what happens if Griffiths gets injured in the league? Ronnie doesn't fancy Stokes, doesn't fancy Sheffield anymore. You can't ask these guys to come in out of the blue every 12 weeks and play one game because somebody suspended or injured. We need competition for places. We need competition's healthy. We've maybe got that now with Allen, but Chiefy and Griffiths, who's are they pushing each other? Griffiths looks to me to be up for the fight anyway, but and I love wee Griffiths, he looks as if he's right up for it, the battle with Chiefy. Chiefs on the other hand, I felt sorry for Chiefs when he came on last night, because when he came on a game, passed him by, because the midfield never got anywhere near him to support him. But there was that one where he gave the ball out wide and then followed the ball out wide instead of getting into the box. But that's a different matter. But I just think we should have more options for places. Up front, we've only got two players that you'd say are realistically going to get a start, because I like Shetovich a lot, but Dyer obviously doesn't. Stokes is as good as away. He's not even made the bench for a lot of games. It's only really that three behind the striker, and it's only really one. We know Johansson will play if he's fat most weeks. Commons might get a start. Mackay, Forrest, Armstrong. Apart from that, there's absolutely no competition. Who's going to replace Van Dijk? Is it Ambrose or Mulgrew? Is Mulgrew going to be the player that fills in every position that comes available? We really need to go out and get... I know we've been in for that Simunich boy, okay, but we really, really need to go out and get somebody here. Because we've only really got about 13, 14, 15 players. We were talking about Rogic last week, and when going gets tough, Rogic gets going, as you says to me after podcast. You know, you can't ask these boys to come in. That's what Lennon did. That's what Dyla did last year. You ask them to come in after 6-7 weeks of no getting a game, and then you sit and wonder, oh my god, we've no depth in the team. But there's no depth in the team because it's the same 14, 15 players that are playing week in, week out until you get that odd game where he brings in a whole new team and it takes them 30, 40 minutes to get going. We need players that can fight for a place, no players that are happy enough just to sit on the bench and say, oh, there's a League Cup game away to Livingston or Rangers or Alloa, something like that, that I'm going to get a start in. It's no good enough. And if we're going to get into Champions League with just that group of players guaranteed game time every week, we're going to get horsed.
I think that's a great point. Like you said to me last week, but there really is a lack of depth in this team. A lack of quality depth.
Yeah, it's lack of depth and it's a lack of quality. We should, realistically, every big team should have two players for each position. Right, and if that, it's a boy, it's like the boy, we've not got players like the boy Azpilicueta at Chelsea. He can play anywhere along the back line, right? And obviously he's not as good. I mean, I know he's played a lot of left back. We're not going to get players like that, but a player of his nature that can play left or right back, can fill in defence. We've not got players like that. I mean, you could say Mulgrew, right? But Mulgrew can't play right back.
Big Effie.
You know what I mean? He's not well. He played left back, didn't he? Skin.
Aye, he's played everywhere. He's
played left back because
he's absolutely useless.
Aye. But you know what I mean? And we need players that are confident in different positions in it. Oh, I know I'm harsh on Mulgrew a lot, but you could say he can come in and do a job in midfield if you're desperate. It's like up front, Chief G, Griffiths. I think Chief G's a better player outside the box, and Griffiths is a far better player inside the box. But we need that something different. We need, because throwing the ball to Van Dijk, obviously, isn't going to be an option in a couple of weeks, but in midfield, Brown or Beaton get injured, we're up Shack Creek. Maybe that's why Allen's in. I hope that's why he's got Allen's in. But I just think, we were discussing it last week, I don't know what happens if Brown gets injured and then he says to Rogic or Rogic, are you ready? We're not sure if we want him in the team, situations like that. So I'd like to see us maybe signing off three players. I'd love to see us get a left back. I think we need a full back. A left back who can play, a right back who can play left back. Somebody that can offer a bit of versatility at back. We're going to need a new central defender. Ideally, I'd love to bring in an all-winger to keep Forrest and Mackay Stevens, because I don't really class Armstrong as a winger, but I'd like to have an all-winger in, and I'd like to have an all-striker. The thing is, we're no far away from being a good team. We've got a good start in 11, and there's one or two, but I think, as you say, we don't like to see Celtic chase a game, but I know Commons has got me something out of nothing and about him, but I don't think there's too many players that are going to come on and change a game off that bench. And that's the problem. You know, Lennon had players like Samaras who could bring on. I know Samaras has got his doubters, but sometimes he did come on to good effect. I know I wasn't his biggest fan, but he could have brought Paddy McCourt on. Paddy McCourt, I won a lot. I mean, he guaranteed he could create something. I don't... Commons, but... You know, when Commons comes on, he's just going to get a ball and shoot, and unless it goes in, he's virtually ineffective. So, I don't think there's a player on that bench where he can say, 20 minutes to go in Malmo. Might be Commons, it is Commons. I'm contradicting myself here, but there's no player that he can say, right, I need you to go on and do this, because he knows if it's Commons, it's hit a shot, and keep shooting until it goes in. And I think that's a big problem for him. It's a big problem for us today, obviously, but there's just no, there's bodies there, like Tierney, Rogic and all that, but is there any quality? That's the big point.
Oh, see, the worst comes to worst and we go 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go in Malmo next week. We, like you say, we've got nothing. What are you going to do? Fling Commons on, tell me shoot, and fling Van Dijk up like we've done against Milan, Maribor, and it just, there literally isn't anything there that you can think of. We can pull this one out of the hat.
And maybe even harsh on Mackay Stevens, because if he's on the bench, he could be the spark. What I mean is, I just don't, there's nobody that can come on and you automatically go, oh, here we go. Do you know what I mean? Maybe like the way I'll never forget it. So it was Des Amaras missed the penalty at Ibrox. Well, we're not each. And see, about 10 minutes to go, he brought Commons on, right? And the Commons had been a whirlwind since he came in with the club, obviously, that season. But see the cheer in the pub when he brought Commons on? It was unreal. And you'd that sort of expectancy. It was like when Martin O'Neill brought Lobo on. You'd, obviously, Lobo's a better player than Commons, but you'd that sort of, right, here we go. There's a chance now. He's got to create something. Commons for me isn't the kind of player anymore, and he just shoots. But I don't think there's anybody that you could throw in and say, right, really need you to get the ball and make something here. Because unless Commons has got to shoot for 30 years and go in, we've not really got in. And I'm not saying go out and buy a substitute, go out and buy a super sub, but there's got to be a player that's going to step up and be done up and be counted at Celtic, because we've not got one. Maybe I'm been half to Commons, but I just don't think that can happen playing anymore. A fairly long-winded, boring answer.
Prediction for Saturday, Hunter, what are you going for?
2-1, Celtic.
Bruce?
5-0, McNamara, got a job by Sunday morning.
Well, I'll go for a mere conservative 2-0. I think we'll see it.
And Logan Bailey will save a penalty.
Hopefully. Right, moving on to transfers, there's more and more speculation. I think in terms of coming in, the rumour that's doing the rounds, the last 2 hours, it was a journalist from the Daily Mirror. He's reporting that Norwich are prepared to let Gary Hooper go, but if they're to do a deal with Celtic, they want to see Lee Griffiths go the other way. Would you be interested in that sort of deal, Bruce?
I'd keep Griffiths. The rumour seems to be that they're going to use Hooper. As much as I love Gary Hooper, and I'm really starting to take to Lee Griffiths. And I'd have the two of them before I would have Hooper or Griffiths. I don't think Griffiths will go anyway. I see people say, oh, he loves the club and that, but I think he's worked too hard, Griffiths, to be the main striker at Celtic. And he's not going to throw that away to play second fiddle to Cameron Jerome.
And how would you make it up?
Not interested. I loved Hooper when he was first here. I didn't want him to go. And I've been screaming for weeks about Celtic doing anything they can to get him back. But anything they can doesn't include getting rid of Griffiths, because like Bruce said, he's worked really hard to make himself the number one striker at the club. He's a guy who clearly loves being here, who just loves being the number one striker, just gives his all. It seems like a really good guy. I know a lot of people struggle to take to him, but I think most people really do like him now, and I think he's a really good player. I think he's a bit underrated. I think people write him off. And as good as Hooper was for us in his original spell, especially in Europe as well, he done well. But he hasn't kicked his arse in 2 years since he left. He's not really done a thing at Norwich, so I wouldn't be happy to let Griffiths go for Hooper. I'm definitely still want Hooper back, but I wouldn't let Griffiths go.
No, I 100% agree. And I think I need to hold my horns up and say I doubted Griffiths in Europe. And I know it was only last night, but as you say, I think he's the number one striker now, and it's a role that he clearly loves. But he's just such an endearing wee character. He works so hard, and you can see it. He works so hard for all his teammates, and it rubs off on everybody else. And I just think, we can't take the gamble that Hooper will, as you say, he's not been a player for 2 years. He's been basically sat on the bench for 2 years. We can't take the risk at the cost of Lee Griffiths. We can't take the risk that he'll, the gamble that he'll suddenly rediscover that form that he had at Celtic. Signing Hooper's a big risk. It's not a guaranteed 30 goals this season. I would love him back, but only if you could. We need to guarantee, if you could guarantee that player between 2010 and 13. Aye, of course. But you can't guarantee that because he's hardly played any football. And he'll be hungry to impress, of course, obviously, but he's got to be, he will not be match fit. You know, he's got to be lacking there. No at the cost of Griffiths, absolutely no way. I agree with Hunter 100% on that. Griffiths, for me, is the next great goal scorer at Celtic, and I think he can adapt his game even further. I just think the man loves scoring goals, and I know it's funny, I say a lot of people can't take to him, but he's just got that indiscipline. Suarez, obviously, he's no anywhere near as good as Suarez, but the two of them work, it's hard for the team, and you can see he just loves being a Celtic player, and he's definitely not going to go down there, I don't think. And you even seen his message today, he knows, and to quote Neil Lennon, he gets it, he knows how important that is to play for Celtic, and in these times where we're bringing in players, they play well for 3 years and then sell them. To me as a fan, it's important to have somebody in the team that we didn't sign for a lot of money, that isn't the greatest player in the world, but he knows how much it means to a guy sitting in the stand. In league, for me, Lee Griffiths is that player in the team, you know, and I love him. I hope he stays for ages.
Aye, I kind of disagree with what any of the two years have just said. Like, I think Stevie says it earlier as well, where when we signed him, I was underwhelmed, to say the least. And then, but I finally think he's worked so hard, and he seems to have screwed the nut a bit. Like, he's got all that nonsense out of his system. It's like they said, I couldn't have put it any better than you just says, Bruce. He knows what it means to the Celtic fans, and he loves getting, like, you hear the fans now, Lee, Super Lee. Like, they're finally appreciating him, and he really is the number one striker at Celtic now.
I think you have to look at his stats. He started 40 games for us and he scored 33 goals. Now, granted, he's come off the bench like 26 times, something like that. Or 24 times, I think. So I think he's had like 64 appearances overall and he scored 33 goals, which is better than a 1-2 ratio. In terms of ratios, second to none.
Yeah, definitely.
James Sherwood.
No, I agree. Yeah. Because even last year when he wasn't in the team, when he did get his chance, he was scoring. Really, really like him. As I said, I've got a lot of time for him. I just hope he continues. I mean, I want Chiesa to be a success, don't get me wrong, but we need to be honest and say last night showed Griffiths is the number one. Chiesa will need to take his chance when he gets it, but I don't see Griffiths chap battering down Dyer's door asking why he knocked back a bit for Norwich for him. I don't think Griffiths would leave Celtic unless it was something daft and that's never ever going to happen. So he'll not leave Celtic on his term. No, I mean, he'll not want to leave Celtic. When he goes, he'll be told he's leaving. Can I?
Well, the hint is, he just turned 25 and we could easily get another really solid 5 to 10 years almost, especially at like SPL level.
Would have been about 800 grand or something.
It would have been about that. I don't think it was much more than, I think it was maybe about a million, but not much more than that.
I mean, whereas we usually routinely sign 2 million rated strikers that are absolutely rotten, you know, to have one at off that price plane, then 4 times what they duds are all then is impressive. But you see, I mean, that's some stat. I mean, his goals to starts is good. He loves hitting the net. And what I like about Griffiths as well is, and this might sound daft, right, but he doesn't just score one goal, he gets two in games. You know what I mean? He doesn't just settle for a one goal. He's always in getting two. If he scores one early on, he'll get a second. And his take last night, his first touch for his first goal was exquisite. The bottom, a great pass by Johansson, but he's pinged it into him, he's took it, he's opened his body, he's put it by the keeper. Might have looked like a pig to the keeper when he was slotting the ball under him, but he made that keeper look stupid with the header. He'll score for us next week. I spoke myself into convincing that Griffiths is a man. He'll get a goal next week, and we'll go through, and he'll score in the Champions League as well. He's a goal scorer, and he's not the quality Hooper was when he was there, but not a chance in hell I bring Hooper back at the cost of Lee Griffiths. They can have any one of our other players.
Aye, he's at that level now where he is just about indispensable at that team. Because you mentioned it last week as well, I think he would be a great influence in that dressing room as well, for like having a laugh, keeping the players going. Like, I think that's underrated in him as well.
Well, he had a pure weird moment last night. The camera cut to him and Robert mid-dance or something. So he's obviously very popular in the dressing room, which doesn't help. Just on you said him being indispensable, I don't know if he's at that level yet, but he's certainly on his way there. And I can hand on heart say, I wouldn't be absolutely devastated at the minute. He's the number one striker, and if we're hypothetical talking about Hooper, Can he bring out my bag on a gamble, the old rediscoveries forum? No for the cost of Griffiths. They spend it, if we need to spend a couple of million to take that gamble, fair enough. But don't weaken the squad to take that gamble. I'd be more inclined to offer Norwich Van Dijk for $8 million plus Hooper before I would ask them to use Hooper for Lee Griffiths.
Aye, I agree.
In terms of transfers, the same one that's been going on for weeks is Virgil van Dijk, and one of your scouts, David Moss, he was quoted as saying that he fully expects that he will be away, most likely after this second leg, because I think there was a lot of talk last night that would be his last game at Celtic Park. So it's just to see. Right, I've got a theory on this. I reckon people seem to have forgot that Charlie McGrew was player of the year when he played at centre back. I genuinely think him and Boyata could be the partnership to take us forward. What do you make it, Bruce?
Whatever you're drinking, I want a double. Yeah, he McGrew had a good season there. But he still stole the player of the year after Joe Ledley at you, in my opinion. No, McGrew had a great year, but 2 years later, what a specialised position. He's a player that should be in and out of the team when needed. To be that utility man at left back, centre half, or in midfield, God forbid. But we need to sign a replacement because it will be Ambrose and Boyata, and the two of them are too similar. So the two of them are an accident waiting to happen. I like Boyata. I thought he was outstanding last night. I thought he put his body in the line a couple of times. He won every header. But he's got that kind of lackadaisical bit about him, and Ambrose has got lackadaisical bit about him. So if Van Dijk goes, which we all expect he will, know what I mean? I don't think anybody's. We're all rather hoping that he'll be tempted for the Champions League, but even that will probably not stop him leaving. I think the more and more we don't hear about things, the more and more you think there is an agreement. Celtic, well, no, maybe two clubs, but between Van Dijk and Celtic, yeah, they'll leave. But I genuinely think we'll get a good price for him. Big Carson's talking about $16 million, and Sutton's talking about 20, but I think we'll get more than Van. I think we'll get more than the Wanyama team. I think we'll get about 14. Maybe not up front, but I don't think he's going for buttons. But it's going to be a massive, massive loss. And I know I can't get to go head-to-head with Stevie about him, because I know Stevie doesn't always appreciate the big man's, the way he strolls through every game. But they're going to realise how good a player he is when he's not there, and how much that we miss him when he's not there. I'm actually dreading going into Champions League without him. I dread going into Europa League without him. If they don't replace him, typical Celtic not to replace him, but you know, it's something that cannot happen as he goes unreplaced. And if it is, I mean, we know Lowell's been out in Croatia talking with that boy, certainly talking with the club to try and get him. That would be a good signing. Just damn based on the fact that I watched a team for Croatia the night in Europa League, and they were defensively sound. And it's about time that we had a big Eastern European powerhouse at the back. Can't remember the last time we had one. But Van Dijk's got to be replaced, and I'm more concerned about replacing him than I'm bringing in another striker.
Hunter, would you make it? You think we've got a replacement at the club for Van Dijk, or do we definitely need to strengthen there?
Yes, we need to go back and get Jason Denier on loan again.
That's a great point.
They've just signed Otamendi from Valencia. They've got Mangala, Company, Di Michaelis. Give Denier another season out on loan, come back to Celtic, play next to Boyata, and I think we'd be all right. I said last week on the pod, I said I was definite that Van Dijk was going to go, regardless of what happened. I was certain he was going to go. I still feel that way. And if that's going to happen, go for Denier. I don't really know much about the Croatian guy, so I'm not going to be Agent Hunter and pretend that I know all about him. But don't know, there's got to be something in it if Lowell's going across to Croatia.
So you're talking about Denier there. Do you think that maybe hinges on qualifying for the group stage of Champions League?
Yes, probably. I think it would, aye.
I don't think it definitely means he's coming if we qualify. It definitely gives us a chance if we qualify. Because if we don't qualify, there's not a hope in hell. But what I think is more likely to happen is they want him to stay in England or go abroad. I think they know that he was relatively untested up here, and he didn't look great. Neither did Van Dijk, to be honest, in fairness, look great in Europa League. But there's definitely a player there, and I think he's a great new player. I'd love to have him back. I'd have him back tomorrow. I just don't see how it happens without the Champions League. I wonder how he would cope without Van Dijk, because the two of them got on well. So that would be interesting. But if we cannot try, we need to try and get him back if Van Dijk, but when Van Dijk goes, he's definitely got to be replaced. That can he go into a season with Boyata, Mulgrew and Ambrose as your three centre offs? It's just it's unthinkable. And I'm all for giving Celtic players the benefit of the doubt, but can you imagine us going to Barcelona or Real Madrid or Juventus and you've got Mulgrew next to Ambrose or Boyata? Or Ambrose at right back with Boyata and Mulgrew in the centre. I never bet against Celtic, but not, I mean, if the odds are good on -5, I'd be all in. I think in the league, definitely, I mean, in the league, comfortable enough. Who's, you know, I don't mean to sound patronising, but who's got to trouble? Is that Juan Mabo at Hearts looks a cracking big striker? And if he continues on the way he goes, there's no doubt the big bad bully Celtic will come in and take him, I hope, in about a year. But the chances are, Hearts have always had good strikers that play well for a year and then disappear. Like the boy Suso, a good wee player, and then he just disappeared. Craig Beattie had a good year at Hearts and then disappeared. So obviously that one, my boy's got to prove himself, but he's a good player. He's a handful. No, I mean, I'm just thinking of strikers in the league that are going to trouble with the defence. Mulgrew and Ambrose and Boyata, they'll no have much to trouble them in the league. Adam Rooney, McGinn and that are good players. It's the problem with Mulgrew, Boyata and Ambrose is they beat themselves a lot too often. And we need a player like Van Dijk is lackadaisical, but he gets away with it because he is so good. But we need a player that's not going to make any mistakes. And that's why you need to play. So we need a player that's mentally fit. And I hate giving this guy credit, but the Malmo manager said the players aren't mentally tough enough. And after watching the last three games, you need to say there's something in that. And we've got a lot to prove on Tuesday night. We could go there and play a rubbish game and draw not on each, but we've got something to prove to him. I'd love to see Dyla rub it in his face at 90th minute. I'd love to see you travelling to the port celebrating. The whole team up there, fans, getting it loudy, whilst fucking Berget has to go. No, I mean, Berget has to go and watch that. And that Harida, whatever his name is, he's got to watch that. Because they've been so disrespectful to Celtic. It's as disrespectful as they've been. He's got a point, and we need to sign players that take no shite, and we've not got any. Apart from Scott Brown, we've not really got any players like that.
You think Berget was disrespectful? I saw his comments from after the game, and he was one of the few Malmo boys that actually seemed a bit. Like, I seen him talk about the Celtic fans and just saying how they get behind their team, and a few booed him, but he understood. I thought his words were actually no bad last night.
No, before the game, he was coming out and saying, I've told the manager I've needs to know who to get at, who's the weak point. The only weak point in that Celtic team he played in was him. Honestly, I don't even care the fact he scored two goals. He was absolutely disgusting last night. There were about 10 minutes in the first half for Brown and Lustig. We're both taking turns at which one got his skin. He was in that wee spot at the start of second half. He was right in somebody's face. I know Scott Brown should actually have shook his phone. I didn't like the way Scott Brown blanked him, actually. I'd at least high-fived him. But he was right in somebody's face until Johansson walked over. But it's just before the game when he was saying, I know, Celtic a week, and you don't know when. He sat on the bench. And I know he scored two goals, so he looks good now. But and he might have been nice about his after the game, but I'd just love to see him raging. And that manager, I mean, the way they celebrate that, I know that second goal changes the whole outlook, gives them such a lifeline, but they celebrate that goal as if that put them through. The Celtic players should have watched that last night and say, right, next week, that's what I'm staying at. But I don't think they're mentally strong enough. And it's a real shame, because I've got a lot of time for Dyer, I've got a lot of time for most of the players. Collectively as a team, I just think Hunter said it last week, you could see the goals coming against Kilmarnock. And like last night, at 2-0, you could see them scoring, and I think it was Walsh that said it. He's like, they're all just forgetting the fact that Malmo are going to score tonight. And like, a daisy is, I know Carabag now, but Carabag might have just been a 1-1/2. I hope it's not. So I hope we do the exact same on Tuesday. But I just think, like I said, No, unprofessional, and I said that, but they're weak mentally, and we need to bolster a squad to get that up, to get the mental toughness in there again, because it brings belief, it brings confidence, and that breeds winning games, so it's all good. But I'm just a nervous wreck watching Celtic these days, whether it's at home in Inverness or away to Malmo or whatever. I'm just a nervous wreck watching this.
Right, so we're pushing close to an hour and a half, so I'm going to call that a day here. We will be back next week, where hopefully we will be discussing Celtic's qualification for the Champions League, as well as welcoming in a few new signings in. So I'd just like to say thanks to my guest. Stevie obviously had a bit of Wi-Fi trouble there, so hopefully we'll have him back next week. So I'll just pass you over to Bruce and Hunter, and they'll let you know where you can find him. So, Bruce?
You find me at Bruce Hillboy, yeah, on Twitter. Obviously, my tweets aren't as long as my answers have been on the podcast tonight. But I can see myself going down another long answer here, so I'll just pass it to Hunter.
You can find me at James_Hunter91. I'm a padlocked account, so I'll probably not accept your follow.
And you can find me at OCBoy, where I've not got a padlocked account. I'm not scared of the haters.
I've not got a padlock either.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'd like to say thanks to Bruce and Hunter for joining me again. And we've got nothing but respect for you if you made it this far.
Nothing.
Cheers.
But respect. Hashtag jobber.
Well, that brings an end to episode 2. I'd just like to thank everyone who's listened, and thanks to my guests, Hunter, Bruce and Stevie. Remember, you can follow the official podcast on Twitter at RespectThePod. That's at RespectThePod. I've been your host, OCE.